This is the time in our service where we have all of our young kids dismissed from the ages of 2 to 6 for Children's Church, and Logan is at the back. If you want to send them back there, he'll show them where to go. A couple of months ago, whenever we first started talking about kind of what was next in our replacing Scott as he transitioned out, we specifically requested Rusty Tugman because he has obvious gifts that God's blessed him with, and so we were thankful to be able to get him here. But as we started talking about dates for him to come and preach, there was one particular weekend that he said, not going to happen, can't be there. So I'm going to ask Rusty to go ahead and come on up and tell us why he can't be here next weekend.
Yeah, so the reason I can't be here next week is because next Sunday my daughter is getting married. Yeah, so we'll be doing that, and I actually get to do the ceremony. So.
I thought you might be.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Well, we're so excited for you. So come over here. I'm going to say a prayer. As your interim church family, we wanted to get you a gift, or not you a gift, we're going to get your daughter a gift. His daughter's name is Hope, and she is marrying a fine Christian man by the name of George. And so we're excited for them. So we just wanted to pray over you and also pray over their marriage and you for next weekend, because what an honor. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so thankful for Rusty and for the gifts that you've given him. We're just thankful that we get to share time with him as he brings your words to us and brings them to life. And he does it so well. And we just know that you've given him that. And for next weekend, we just pray that you go ahead right now and just kind of continue to start to calm his nerves and just give him the words and just help him to step into the moment to give away his daughter in marriage. And we're so thankful for the beautiful picture that you paint for us for marriage in Scripture. I just pray that you bless that marriage, and I just pray that we always look to you for guidance and wisdom each and every day. It's these things we pray through Jesus. Amen.
I'll hold on to this for you.
Okay, yeah, I started to say I might have to preach holding that. So, no, thank you. Well, that is very, very kind and very thoughtful. Thank you so much. That means a lot to me that you would think of our family. So, thank you so much for that. Well, it is great to be here again with you. I tell you what, I am just so impressed with this church family. I love the idea of the parade tonight. That is awesome. So I hope that you will be involved in that. It's just a great way to make connections with your neighbors. And so just love that this church family is wanting to be a neighborhood church and get to know their neighbors and share Jesus with their neighbors. Well, it is December 8th, and so by this time, you probably have your Christmas decorations up, and you may have even started watching some Christmas movies. So I want you to be thinking, what is your favorite Christmas movie, all right? So be thinking to yourself, what is your favorite Christmas movie? And then on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to just say what your favorite Christmas movie is, okay? Right? And I know there's a debate whether Die Hard's a Christmas movie or not, so we're not even going to go into that right here. All right? So you got your favorite Christmas movie in mind? All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3. Okay, I couldn't hear a thing you said. I don't know what you said. But anyways, if you said It's a Wonderful Life, ding, 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 you're the winner. All right, whether or not that's your favorite Christmas movie, it is one of the most classic and one of the most iconic Christmas movies of all time. In that movie, It's a Wonderful Life, it stars Jimmy Stewart, and Stewart plays a man named George Bailey who is very frustrated with how his life has gone. He feels like a failure. He feels like his life is meaningless, that he hasn't made any kind of difference. He feels insignificant. But then he gets the rare opportunity to see his life from a heavenly perspective, as it were. And from that perspective, he sees life differently. That perspective completely changes his view of his life. From that perspective, he's able to see that his life does have meaning, that he has made a positive impact on others, that he is needed. And so where he once regretted his life, now he sees that it really is a wonderful life. As Christians, you and I have been invited into a wonderful life. And whenever we view that life from a heavenly perspective, that fact becomes ever more clear. In fact, one of the first things that the Bible tells us about the Christian life is that it is a life. Christianity is not just a set of beliefs, and it's much more than a list of rules. It is a way of life. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Jesus gives life. He wants us to have the best of life. And we know that the best of life is found in Christ because He is the way, the truth, and the life. In Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul picks up on this theme that Jesus gives life, and He gives it abundantly, and He gives us a full life. And here's what he says about the Christian life. Paul, in Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, says this, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." Let's pause right there for just a minute. I want you to really see those words. In verse 1, Paul says, "You have been raised with Christ." That's baptismal language. Through baptism, we enter into this life that is defined by Christ. And so Paul says, since you've been baptized into Christ, you've been raised with Christ, you're to view life from a different perspective. Instead of just seeing life from an earthly perspective and seeing just all the challenges that we face in life, you're to take a heavenly perspective. You're to see life from a different realm and through a different lens. And whenever we look at life through that lens, the picture changes. Here's how it changes. If we go to the next slide, in verse 3, Paul says, "For you died." Again, baptismal language. "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." Paul says that for us, Christ is life. Our life is hidden in His, and our life is now defined by His life. That's why it's a wonderful life. It's not that everything goes the way that we want it to go here in this fallen and broken world. No, it's because life is held by Christ. And when your life is found in Christ's life, you not only have hope for the here and now, but you have hope for eternity. Because you also will appear with Him in glory. There's a couple of places where Paul dives even deeper into this wonderful life that we've been called into. And one of those places is Romans chapter 6. And so if you have your Bible or Bible app, go ahead and turn with me to Romans chapter 6. We're going to read verses 1 through 14. I love this passage of Scripture, and if you're familiar with it, then you know why I love it. This is such a hope-filled passage, but it's one of those passages that really helps us to understand what we have in Christ and this life that He's invited us into. Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, Paul says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we've been united with Him in a death like His, we will certainly also be united with Him in a resurrection like His. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. It's a wonderful life, isn't it? I mean, just look at the life we have because of Christ. A life that was once defined and dominated by sin and death, now we have freedom from that. We no longer have to fear death. We no longer have to be held in chains by our sin. Christ offers a way out of both of those curses so that we can live with Him. In the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, George Bailey gets to see life from a different perspective, and that perspective changes everything about how he approaches life. He still has some of the same challenges that he had before. He's still dealing with and interacting with the same people that used to frustrate him, but now he has a new attitude. Now he sees those challenges as opportunities. He sees the blessings that were all around him all along. He was just blind to it. And now he has a great appreciation for the people in his life and in his community, even Mr. Potter. Well, look at what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 6. That whenever we are baptized into Christ, we die to sin, we're raised to live a new life, and that new life gives us a different perspective. It gives us a different attitude. Where we once saw only challenges, now we see those challenges as opportunities to glorify God. Where we once just saw sin and death and were in fear of those things, now we see that those can be overcome through the power of Christ. Even our identity has changed in Christ. We're no longer defined by our past. We're defined by Him. And so our present changes, our future changes, and our past changes as well. It really is a wonderful life. But there's another passage in Romans, just a couple of chapters over, Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. You'll be familiar with this passage as well. Man, these are encouraging words. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. I'm going to pause there for just a minute because I want to read those words again. Because there may be somebody in here today who feels like George Bailey felt at the beginning of the movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Maybe you feel like a failure. Maybe you feel insignificant. Maybe right now you're thinking of the things you've done in your past. Maybe you feel shame. Maybe you feel guilt. Maybe you feel regret. If so, listen carefully to these words. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful life. Not only is Jesus for us, he is with us. And he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And even though we go through all of those things that Paul listed in those passage, in that passage, all those things that I just read, we've experienced every one of those. But even in the midst of that, there is reason to praise. There is reason to be joyful. There is reason to experience peace because Christ is there and our life is hidden with Christ. He is life. What makes Christianity so wonderful? Jesus. That's it. Jesus is the reason it's a wonderful life, because just look at all we have because of him. Now, I know this might not be the typical Christmas sermon. In a Christmas sermon, you would expect a verse like this from Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, that says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. That's what you expect to hear at Christmas time, right? But here's what I want you to see. Jesus came to save people from their sins, and what we've just looked at is what that means. When we are saved from sin, when our sins are forgiven, when the chains of our sins are broken, what we step into is a different life, a new life, a wonderful life that is defined by the grace and the mercy and the peace and the love and the joy of Jesus. And so here's what that means. Because Jesus was born, I can be born again. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 6. That through baptism, we die to sin, to our old life, and we're raised to live a new life. There is new life for you. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, there is new life for you in Jesus. Because Jesus was born, I can be born again. I can have new life. But also because Jesus was born, I don't have to be defined by my past. How great is that? A couple of weeks ago, I was doing a training for a company called Locke Supply Company. They have stores in about 6 different states, and so I've been working with their managers and assistant managers. And so I was working with this one group of managers that had come from all these different states. And anyways, the VP of the company is introducing me before I speak. And there was a guy who was in the front or the fourth row. They kind of had theater-style seating, and so he was on the fourth row there. He had a big gray beard, wearing a ball cap, had a camo vest on. And so I really couldn't, you know, make him out, didn't know who he was or anything like that. Well, as the VP is introducing me, this guy raises his hand, and the VP says, yeah. He says, hey, do we have to listen to Rusty if we went to high school with him? And I was looking, and then he smiled. I was like, oh, okay, I know who this guy is, you know. Hadn't seen him in like 30-something years. But anyways, but I thought, you know, there's probably a lot more truth to what he said than what he really meant. He just meant that as a joke, and it was great. But I started thinking, you know, if I knew me in high school, I probably wouldn't listen to me either. Probably think, I knew this guy. I mean, he didn't have anything figured out, you know, and now he's supposed to be up here telling me what to do. I wouldn't listen to that guy either. I mean, have you ever felt that way, though, where you feel like your past somehow disqualifies you? Maybe you think that about church. Maybe right now you're sitting there thinking, I really don't deserve to be here. I mean, if these people around here, if they knew what I'd done in my past, they wouldn't accept me the way that they are. They wouldn't welcome me the way that they do. Sometimes we feel that way, don't we? Because sometimes we've either done things in our past or had things done to us in our past that we think that all of this hope and peace and love about Christmas, that that's just for somebody else. That's not for me. That's not at all what the gospel story says. The gospel invites everyone to come to Jesus. Jesus is for all. He's for you. And in Jesus, I don't have to be defined by my past anymore because Jesus is able to deal with that. He's able to redeem me from the mistakes of my past or maybe even from the trauma of my past. Now, my life is defined by Jesus. In my ministry career, I've worked with a lot of addicts. And what I have seen is that when they start to define their lives by Jesus, they're able to deal with all the hurts and the habits and hang-ups of their past, and they truly are able to have a new, wonderful life. But it's because they're no longer defining themselves by an addiction. They're defining themselves by the grace of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus was born, I don't have to be defined by my past. I can live with courage in the present because I know that I am not bound by my sin. I am set free from it. I am set free to serve Jesus. And I have hope for the future. You see that? There's another famous Christmas movie, maybe one that was your favorite, where it kind of goes into these themes. The ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, the ghost of Christmas future. Well, that movie kind of gets it right because the Christmas story, the Jesus story, it does deal with all three of those. It helps you move on from your past. It gives you courage in the present, and it gives you hope for a future. And because Jesus was born, I am not alone. This is a festive time of year, but for some people, this is a lonely time of year. And what you need to hear is that you're not alone. Not only do you have your brothers and sisters in Christ with you, you have Jesus with you. And just as we read in Romans chapter 8, nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Just look at that list again. Because Jesus was born, I can be born again. I can have new life. I don't have to be defined by my past. I can live with courage in the present. I have hope for the future, and I am not alone. Now you tell me, is that a wonderful life or what? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful life that you have invited us into. Lord, you have graciously and freely invited us into this life. It's not based on anything that we have done or anything that we have earned. It is solely because you love us. And Lord, in this life that we have with Christ, we have new life. We have a life that is no longer defined by our sin, but it is defined by Jesus' grace and forgiveness. We are no longer defined by our past, but we move forward into a hopeful present and future. We're no longer alone because Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Deliverer is always with us. And as your word says, nothing can separate us from His love. Lord, thank you for this wonderful life that we have because of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to share with others how wonderful life is in Christ so that they can experience all the blessings of Christ that we've experienced in our lives as well. Lord, we thank you for Jesus and for the hope that he gives us. It's in His name we pray, as together we say, amen. Well, if you have any needs whatsoever, the shepherds will be waiting for you, ready to pray with you. If you want to be baptized into Christ today and have this new life that we read about today, then you can also talk with them about that as well. And you can do that right now as we stand and sing together.